The morning should have been bright over the Caribbean, but the light never fully reached the ground. A dense brown veil hung in the air. The sea looked washed out. Hills that were usually clear from a distance faded into a faint outline. On this day, the islands faced a dust plume so thick that weather officers called it the strongest in recent memory. Houses felt muted. Roads carried a dull, hazy glow. People stepped outside and paused. The air tasted dry. Some residents reached for masks, not out of fear of illness, but to keep the fine particles from settling into their throats. Fishermen at small bays waited longer than usual because they could not see the horizon. Pilots delayed takeoff until the visibility chart leveled. Inside local weather centers, technicians watched monitors that showed a wall of dust crossing the Atlantic. The question rose across the region: how did this natural cycle become so intense in this season? Chapter 1, Arrival in the Haze. The dust arrived before sunrise. It rode the warm winds that formed along the eastern edge of the Caribbean during early morning hours. By the time the first ferries prepared for service, the haze had thickened into a blanket that stretched across the coastline. Lights from harbors looked dim, as if someone had pressed a filter over the entire island. Weather officers posted early bulletins. The air quality index slid into levels that called for caution. On the ground, the changes were clear. Drivers moved slower on main roads because the horizon was not sharp. Hills that usually guided morning commuters vanished into a dull shape. Coconut trees looked pale. A fine brown film coated windshields. Street vendors reached for cloths and wiped tables before they placed out drinks and fruit. Many of them said the same thing. This was not the usual dust. This one felt heavier. Airports adjusted as the plume strengthened. Ground crews placed markers along the runway edges so pilots could gauge distance when they taxied. Control towers monitored visibility readings. At one airport, a flight crew waited an extra 20 minutes as the dust reduced the view across the tarmac. Conversations inside the building stayed calm. Caribbean airports often handle dust plumes. This one, however, created a scene where shapes faded faster than the monitors predicted. Weather bulletins reported that particulate matter readings rose at a pace not seen in recent seasons. Local clinics also prepared. These facilities usually saw a rise in respiratory cases during dust events. Nurses stocked inhalers and saline solutions. Doctors reviewed brief notes about expected symptoms: dry throat, cough, eye irritation. By mid-morning, the waiting areas began to fill with residents who felt a tightness in their chests. Many of them had stepped outside for only a few minutes. The dust did not need much time to make its presence felt. On the streets, the mood was steady but cautious. People watched the sky closely. Blue patches struggled to break through the brown filter. When winds picked up in short bursts, dust swirled across sidewalks. Residents covered their faces with shirts or cloths. Vendors leaned over counters to shield produce. Some visitors took photographs of the sky. They asked if the islands always looked this way. Locals told them that dust was part of life here, but this was a different kind of arrival. It carried a density that pushed the boundaries of what people were used to. Inside the regional meteorology office, the view was more precise. Technicians sat in a room filled with large monitors that displayed satellite imagery. The bright white shapes of clouds were easy to spot. The dust plume, however, appeared as a wide tan layer stretching from the West African coast across the Atlantic. This was the Saharan air layer. It formed when strong winds lifted sand and soil particles from dry regions in northern Africa. These particles entered high-altitude air currents and traveled thousands of miles. Meteorologists in the Caribbean had studied these plumes for decades. They understood how the dust traveled. They understood why some seasons were stronger than others. Yet the image on the monitor showed a concentration that exceeded standard expectations. The layer looked thick from top to bottom. It left a long tail behind it that stretched past Cape Verde. As the plume crossed the Atlantic, it gained height, sometimes rising 2 to 3 miles above the ocean. When the winds aligned, the layer curved downward toward the islands. The early field reports matched the satellite data. Visibility dropped faster than usual. Fishermen noticed that the horizon line mixed with the sky. Their boats moved slowly as they left small coves. They relied on experience instead of sight. Some described the air as gritty. Fine particles floated on the surface of the sea where sunlight touched the water. Birds flew lower. Their wing beats looked slower because the haze changed the contrast of everything around them. To understand the scale of this event, the documentary lens moved briefly to the source. The Sahara Desert stretches across northern Africa. It is one of the largest hot deserts in the world. During certain months, strong winds sweep across dry lake beds and old river channels. These winds pick up dust. The particles vary in size. Many are small enough to stay suspended in the air for long periods. Once lifted, the dust meets the African easterly jet, which is a fast-moving air current high above the ground. This current becomes the main highway for transatlantic dust transport. Mariners who crossed the Atlantic in the 1700s described scenes similar to the ones unfolding now. Their journals mentioned brown skies and dim sunlight when their ships approached the Caribbean. They wrote about fine particles that settled on decks and gave the ocean a dull sheen. They did not know the science behind these plumes, but they documented their presence. These historical accounts show that dust transport is not new. What is new is the intensity. Back in the present day, the Caribbean weather centers focused on air quality. Their tools measured particulate matter. The smallest particles, especially those known as PM2.5, enter the lungs easily. When the readings climb, people with respiratory conditions feel the impact first. Bulletin updates urged residents to avoid outdoor exercise. Schools moved some activities indoors. The tone of the messages remained steady. They expressed concern without causing alarm. The region knew how to handle dust, but the thickness of this plume required extra measures. At midday, the dust reached its peak density over several islands. Sunlight turned into a warm, muted glow. Shadows blurred. The ground felt cooler than expected because the dust blocked some of the sun's energy. People described the air as heavy. It felt as though the islands were sitting under a large suspended cloud of earth. On balconies and porches, thin layers of dust settled on railings. Some households closed windows and wiped surfaces more often. Radio stations updated residents throughout the day. Hosts described the scene in plain terms. They repeated information from local weather offices. They emphasized the importance of staying hydrated. Listeners called in to say how the sky looked from their homes. Some said it reminded them of early morning fog, but the tint made it different. Others said they had never seen the sky look so brown for such a long stretch of time. As the day progressed, airports continued to adjust. In some locations, flights resumed after shorter delays. In others, the dust lingered and forced small changes to the schedule. Runway cameras captured the scene. The far end of the strip looked faint. The airport staff worked steadily. They moved equipment slowly to avoid stirring extra dust. When planes finally lifted off, they rose into a sky that looked more like a tinted film than open air. The documentary focus then returned to the meteorology office where the plume's structure was examined. The Saharan air layer carries more than just dust. It also holds warm, dry air. This air differs from the moist environment over the Caribbean. When the layer arrives, it often suppresses rainfall. Clouds struggle to form. This helps the dust remain suspended in the sky for longer periods. In the current event, the layer arrived with unusual warmth. It pressed against the local weather patterns and extended the time the dust stayed visible. The early afternoon brought a slight drop in particulate readings in some areas. Winds shifted and pushed small pockets of cleaner air into the islands. People noticed brief moments when the sky looked lighter. Yet the relief did not last. The main body of the plume still hovered overhead. When winds slowed, the dust settled back into lower levels of the atmosphere. This cycle repeated throughout the day. It created a pattern where the haze never fully lifted. Around neighborhoods, the daily rhythm changed. Parents walked their children to school with extra caution. Street vendors covered goods more often. Construction workers paused tasks when dust levels spiked. Tourists stood on beaches and watched the muted sea. The islands continued their routines, but everything moved with an awareness that the air carried particles from a distant desert half a world away. In the late afternoon, weather officers prepared an updated bulletin. They noted that the dust plume would likely persist through the night. they explained that the density might ease after rainfall, though no significant rain was expected soon, because the warm, dry air limited cloud formation. They also noted that the plume had traveled along a core corridor that often directed dust into the Lesser Antilles before spreading westward. This event followed that path closely, but the thickness reached levels that made it stand out in recent memory. As evening approached, the sky took on a deeper shade. Streetlights glowed against the haze. Their halos appeared larger than usual. Residents gathered on porches and talked about the day. Many of them had lived through dust events before. They remembered seasons when the sky turned pale but still allowed fair visibility. This one felt heavier. It left a stronger mark on the senses. The air tasted different. It felt dry on the skin. It made people blink more often. Inside local homes, the dust settled quietly. Even with windows closed, fine particles found their way inside. Some families wiped surfaces repeatedly. Others used damp cloths to trap the dust before it spread. Fans moved the air slowly to avoid lifting settled particles. The evening news reported that clinics remained busy but manageable. They highlighted the steps people could take to stay comfortable. The tone remained calm. By nightfall, the plume began to thin in some areas, but it did not clear completely. The Caribbean sky usually reveals stars after sunset. On this night, only a few faint points of light appeared. The dust filtered the starlight and softened the darkness. It created a muted scene where shapes blended into shadows. The island sat under a dome of light brown haze. The final updates of the day came from the meteorology office. Analysts reviewed the satellite images again. They saw that the main plume still extended far across the Atlantic. Smaller waves of dust followed behind it. These waves would likely reach the region within the next few days. The staff prepared their summary. This event belonged to a long history of transatlantic dust transport, yet it exceeded typical density levels. The question now was how this natural cycle intensified so sharply. The chapter closes with the islands settling into a cautious night. Residents waited for the next morning to see if the sky would clear. Weather officers watched the incoming data and prepared for another long day of monitoring. The dust had arrived with unusual strength. Its presence raised a larger concern that would carry into the next chapter. Was this season's plume a sign of deeper changes in the dust cycle or a rare extreme event? Chapter 2, Lived Experience and Shifting Patterns. Morning arrived with the same muted light across the islands. The dust lingered low over towns and coastlines. People noticed that the haze looked thicker in some areas than the day before. Weather bulletins had said the plume would stall. The prediction held. What changed now was how the dust settled into daily routines and placed pressure on communities from the Lesser Antilles to the western edge of the region. In Barbados, the day started on farmland. Fields of sweet potatoes and small vegetable plots sat under a pale sky. Farmers walked through rows that usually looked green and crisp. Now the leaves carried a thin brown layer. A farmer named Daniel cleaned the surface with his hand. The dust came off in a fine sweep. He said the crops could handle some dust, but this much created stress. He pointed out that sunlight was weaker under the haze. Plants needed clear light for steady growth. If the haze stayed thick for too long, the yield could drop. He spoke from experience. Dust seasons passed through the island each year, but the density of this one reminded him of a season from his childhood. That season brought smaller harvests. Next to his field stood his neighbor's plot. Rows of peppers were covered as well. The neighbor, who had lived in the area for decades, remembered milder dust seasons in the 1970s. He said the skies were clearer back then. Dust came, but not in the heavy sheets that covered the island now. He noted that the winds from the Sahel region had become stronger in recent years. He said the dust carried a different weight. In St. Lucia, a fisherman prepared his boat at the edge of a small bay. He slowed his routine because visibility remained low. The horizon faded into a brown band. He said it was unusual for the haze to stay so thick through the evening and then return unchanged at dawn. He adjusted his radio and waited for the marine bulletin. The announcer repeated guidance about reduced visibility and caution for small craft. The fisherman said he would go out only a short distance. He spoke about the dust as if it were another person to reckon with. He had seen storms and thick mist. Dust this dense made him uneasy. It altered the contrast between the sea and the sky, which affected how he navigated. On land, school principals adjusted daily schedules. In Jamaica, one principal reviewed the day's plan with staff. Outdoor activities were reduced. Students would stay inside during breaks. Teachers prepared extra indoor sessions. The principal said the children had asked why the sky looked blurry again. Some of them rubbed their eyes more often. The school nurse kept water bottles ready and reminded the teachers to watch for signs of discomfort. The principal also noted that attendance dipped slightly because parents kept younger children home until the haze eased. At health centers across the region, doctors and nurses continued to see patients with coughs, headaches, and irritated eyes. A doctor in Trinidad described how the fine particles affected sensitive groups. She said the clinic measured a sharp rise in respiratory complaints. Many of the patients had asthma or allergies. She explained that PM2.5 particles entered the lungs easily and triggered symptoms more quickly. She said the pattern was familiar during dust events, but this surge happened sooner and involved a wider range of symptoms. She watched the air quality chart and prepared for another busy day. Meteorologists monitored the plume through satellite imagery. Their screens showed a wide arc of dust stretching across the Atlantic. One analyst examined a sequence captured overnight. The dust band looked thick near the Cape Verde region, the launch point where Sahara winds picked up loose soil and lifted it into high-altitude air. The imagery showed that new waves of dust would follow the first one. The analyst noted that the Sahel zone had experienced long dry spells in recent years. These dry spells created more exposed soil, which made it easier for winds to lift large amounts of dust. This was one of the factors researchers were studying when they looked at changing dust cycles. In the meteorology office, another analyst reviewed records from past decades. She focused on seasons in the 1970s. Those records showed dust transport, but the layers were thinner. Visibility reports from that era described a pale haze rather than the dense veil seen now. She said the patterns shifted over time. Some years were light, some were strong. Yet the last few seasons had shown longer stretches of heavy dust. Back in the field, people adjusted their daily habits. Street vendors in the Dominican Republic covered food more often. They placed cloths over trays of fruit and drinks. One vendor said the dust had settled so thick the day before that she had to wipe her stall 3 times before noon. She worried that the haze would reduce foot traffic. People tended to stay indoors when air quality dipped. She said the dust felt like an extra burden this week. In Grenada, a couple who ran a small guest house watched as guests stepped out to take photographs. The guests asked questions about the dust. The couple explained the Saharan air layer. They pointed toward the horizon and traced the outline of the haze. They said dust was common each year, but this one had lasted longer and altered the tone of the sky in a way that stood out. One of them said the haze reminded her of mornings after a volcanic eruption, except no eruption had happened. This dust belonged to another world across the ocean. Farmers in St. Vincent faced similar problems. One farmer stood near his banana plants. The leaves carried speckles of dust. He said the crop could handle a fair amount of dust, but the real issue was the reduced sunlight. He said if the haze lingered for too long, the plants would slow their growth. He remembered older seasons when dust arrived in lighter waves. The pattern seemed different now. He pointed toward the sky and said the dust used to come and go more quickly. This time it behaved differently. It felt heavier, as though something had changed in the journey from the Sahara. Parents in various islands shared their perspectives. A mother in Antigua said she usually let her children play outside after school. This week she kept them indoors. She said the dust caused her youngest child to cough. She followed health bulletins and used damp cloths to clean the house. She said the haze made her feel uneasy. She had lived on the island her whole life. She trusted the natural cycle, but found this season difficult to understand. Meteorologists continued to discuss the Sahel region. The Sahel sits between the Sahara Desert and the more humid regions to the south. It experiences shifting rainfall patterns. in recent years, the Sahel underwent long dry seasons. These conditions left more exposed soil. When strong winds passed through the region, they lifted large amounts of dust. Analysts noted that shifts in the Sahel's climate played a role in the increased dust transported across the Atlantic. They made it clear that this did not mean every strong dust season came from the same cause. Natural variation was still present, but they kept watching the trend. Satellite images from mid-morning showed the dust layer holding steady over the Caribbean. The plumes retained their structure because the warm, dry air prevented rainfall from breaking them apart. The imagery also showed that smaller waves of dust followed behind the main plume. These waves traveled along the same corridor. They were not as thick, but they added to the overall haze. The analysts noted that if the winds remained stable, these waves would arrive within 2 days. In local communities, the haze influenced conversations in simple but meaningful ways. People talked about how long it had been since they saw a clear horizon. Taxi drivers in St. Kitts said they cleaned their windshields more often, but still lost clarity when driving at higher elevations. Shopkeepers wiped surfaces throughout the day. Construction workers talked about how the haze made their eyes feel dry. Sailors adjusted their plans because they depended on clear views of the sea. Teachers in the region adapted activities to indoor spaces. A primary school in St. Thomas set up reading circles. The teachers explained the dust cycle to students in a simple way. They used a globe and a map to show where the Sahara sat in relation to the Caribbean. The children listened with curiosity. Some of them asked if the dust would always come. The teachers said dust came most years. They said this one was stronger and might last a few more days. Doctors in several islands noticed a familiar pattern. Patients with asthma came in early in the day. Patients with allergies arrived in the afternoon. A doctor in Guadeloupe said the clinic saw more patients than expected. She explained that dust particles had sharp edges that irritated the airways. She said this particular plume seemed to trigger symptoms more intensely. She also noted that people not usually affected by dust felt discomfort this time. This raised concerns about long-term exposure if dust seasons kept intensifying. The lived experience of the dust extended to the coastline. In Martinique, fishermen noticed a thin layer of dust floating on the surface near shore. It appeared during low wind intervals when the particles settled. The fishermen said the sea looked dull under the haze. Birds flew at lower heights. Their calls sounded slower. The fishermen spoke about how the dust changed the rhythm of the coast. Yes. Farmers in Dominica walked through their fields and looked for signs of stress. Dust settled on the broad leaves of dachine and tania plants. The farmers said that too much dust could clog the leaf pores. They waited to see if any rain would wash the plants clean. They noted that the dry air kept clouds from forming. They hoped for a shift in the weather. The historical context carried weight in these conversations. Older residents said they remembered seasons when dust came in short bursts. They recalled that the haze moved quickly. They said the winds today behave differently. They saw the dust sit in place for long stretches. They also heard meteorologists say that dust seasons had grown more frequent in recent years. The older residents wondered if these changes would become the new normal. In the regional meteorology office, analysts compared current satellite data with past years. They looked at images from the 1970s. The older images showed faint dust bands leaving the African coast. The new images showed broad, dense layers. They also investigated seasonal trends. Some seasons still followed mild cycles. Others brought heavier dust. It was not a straight line pattern. Yet the last few years displayed enough strong plumes to prompt a closer look. Midday updates from medical officials confirmed that clinics continued to manage increased cases. These officials emphasized rest and hydration. They reminded residents to keep indoor spaces clean. They also said that people with chronic conditions should follow their prescribed treatments closely during dust events. In the afternoon, the haze deepened in some areas. People noticed that the sky grew darker, even though clouds did not form. The dust created a dim light. Street vendors said it felt like early evening, even though it was only mid-afternoon. Drivers turned on headlights. Cyclists slowed down on narrow roads. The muted light affected everyone's sense of time. Meteorologists then reviewed atmospheric models that predicted how long the plume might remain. The models showed slow movement. The warm, dry air locked the dust in place. A shift in wind patterns could ease the haze, but no strong shift was expected soon. Analysts prepared their next bulletin. They said the dust would likely linger into the next day. Back in local communities, the conversations kept returning to the same question. Was this a temporary extreme or part of a long-term shift? Farmers talked about the need to protect crops more often. Fishermen discussed safety when navigating in low visibility. Parents talked about the health of their children. Teachers talked about the impact on outdoor learning. Each group had its view. Each noticed the pattern. In Barbados, the farmers who spoke earlier gathered in a small shed to review their plans. They talked about using shade nets. They talked about soil moisture. They talked about past seasons. One said he remembered a stretch in the 1970s when dust came for about a week. It was inconvenient, but manageable. He said today's pattern felt more persistent. In Jamaica, the school principal looked out the window after classes ended. The children went home early. The haze made the afternoon look dull. She said she would monitor the next day's bulletins and adjust the schedule again. She hoped for a break in the dust. In St. Lucia, the fisherman returned to shore. He said the sea looked strange under the haze. It reflected less light. He said he would wait for clearer days before going farther out. Safety mattered more than routine. Doctors closed their day with full patient lists. They expected more tomorrow. They said the dust pushed everyone to adjust. They felt confident about managing symptoms, but concerned about the long stretch of exposure. As evening approached across the region, the dust settled again. The air felt still. Lights from houses and roads reflected off the haze. Satellite imagery showed that the plume remained strong. It also showed new waves following behind it. Analysts updated their projections. They said the arrival of these waves could extend the haze into the coming week. The day ended with this clear tension. Communities had made their adjustments. Clinics continued their work. Farmers guarded their crops. Fishermen watched the horizon. Teachers guided students indoors. Meteorologists tracked the plume and reviewed new data. Yet a deeper question grew louder. Did this dust season represent a rare extreme or the sign of a long-term shift in the dust cycle shaped by the changing climate of the Sahel and the Atlantic? Chapter 3. Synthesis, climate lens, and forward questions. The dust began to thin in uneven patches across the Caribbean, but the sky did not clear in a single sweep. It faded in steps. One island saw slight improvement in the morning. Another noticed a break in the afternoon. The plume that had pressed across the region for days finally loosened its hold as shifting air currents brushed its outer edges. Yet the easing did not answer the larger question that hovered over the islands. What had made this season so strong? Scientists across the region began reviewing their data as the haze softened. They collected measurements from ground sensors, air quality stations, and satellite archives. The early numbers showed what communities had already felt. This was one of the densest and most persistent plumes in recent years. Visibility had dropped sharply. Particulate readings reached levels that required caution. Schools, clinics, farms, and harbors all made adjustments. The question now was how these local experiences connected to larger atmospheric shifts. Meteorologists turned their focus toward the broader climate patterns that shaped dust transport. They reviewed temperature records from the Atlantic. Warmer sea surface temperatures altered wind behavior. When large sections of the Atlantic warmed, the pressure differences across the ocean changed. These changes affected how the African easterly jet carried dust from the Sahara. During some years, this jet strengthened. During others, it shifted in height. The scientists studied how this season's jet may have combined with dry conditions in the Sahel to create an especially strong dust launch. At the same time, researchers discussed rainfall patterns in the Sahel. The Sahel lies south of the Sahara and bridges the desert to the wetter tropical regions. It is sensitive to shifts in rainfall. In years when rainfall declines, the land dries faster and leaves more exposed soil. When strong winds move across this dry ground, they lift more dust. Historical records showed that the Sahel experienced long periods of drought in recent decades. This created recurring conditions for intense dust formation. Scientists compared the current season to data from earlier decades. In the 1970s, dust events occurred, but the plumes were thinner. Satellite imagery from that era showed narrow bands of dust leaving the African coast. Those plumes traveled across the Atlantic, but often arrived in lighter form. As the climate shifted over time, the Sahel saw longer dry spells. These conditions created the possibility for stronger dust seasons. Not every year produced intense plumes. Variation remained, but the trend raised important questions. The Caribbean climate agencies also examined how the Saharan air layer interacted with regional weather. The layer carried warm, dry air above the Atlantic. When it reached the islands, it often suppressed cloud formation. This made rainfall less likely. During this event, the layer held a higher temperature than usual. This allowed the dust to remain suspended for longer. The suppression of rain meant fewer chances for natural cleansing. Regional planners reviewed the impact on agriculture. They spoke with ministries and local farming groups. They learned that fine dust had settled into soil surfaces across many islands. This dust carried minerals from the Sahara. In small amounts, those minerals enriched soil. In large amounts, they created stress for crops, especially when sunlight weakened under a dense haze. Farmers noticed slower plant growth during the thickest days of the event. The planners documented these observations. They considered whether seasonal advisories should expand to include more guidance for crop protection during extreme dust events. Shipping and coastal operations also reviewed their reports. Captains shared navigation logs that described reduced visibility during the peak days. Port managers examined delays caused by the haze. They noted that bright coastal lights looked diffused under the dust. They planned to adjust lighting setups and visibility markers for future events. They said that changes would help during early morning operations when crews relied on clear sight lines. In the health sector, doctors and nurses discussed the aftermath of the event. Clinics remained steady even after the haze began to lift. Residual particles stayed in the air, though at lower concentrations. People continued to experience mild symptoms. Doctors said this was expected. Fine particulates often lingered in indoor spaces and settled into soil. They advised residents to keep windows closed during strong dust pulses and to clean surfaces with damp cloths. They prepared seasonal guidance for future dust waves. Environmental scientists then studied how the dust settled into the landscape. After a thick plume passes, some of the particulates drift into the soil, water, and vegetation. Researchers collected samples to test mineral levels. They looked for patterns. Some regions showed slight increases in iron and phosphorus. Researchers said these minerals could support plant life under certain conditions. However, they cautioned that large deposits could affect soil balance and influence water quality in streams after rainfall. The scientists aimed to understand how repeated strong dust seasons might shape ecosystems over time. Archivists and climate historians reviewed written accounts from past centuries. They searched for references to thick dust that dimmed Caribbean skies. Journals from ship crews in the 1700s and 1800s described brown skies and long stretches of hazy days. Those accounts showed that dust transport had a long history. Yet today's satellite measurements placed the current event among the denser plumes recorded in modern times. Archivists noted the shift. They said historical accounts described discomfort and reduced visibility. Today, the combination of population growth, agriculture, tourism, and health demands made these events more complex to manage. As the dust continued to lift, regional climate scientists held remote meetings to share findings. They spoke about the connections between the Sahel, the Sahara, and the Atlantic. They evaluated how rising temperatures influenced wind patterns. They discussed the possibility that stronger and more persistent dust seasons could become more common if the Sahel continued to experience long, dry periods. They also emphasized uncertainty. Climate systems contain many variables. They said it was important to distinguish between a single, intense season and a long-term shift. They collected more data before drawing conclusions. In these meetings, some researchers focused on the role of aerosols in the atmosphere. Dust particles interacted with sunlight. They absorbed some of it and scattered the rest. This changed local temperatures and influenced wind behavior. Scientists explained that dust could cool surface temperatures while warming the air above. These changes affected cloud formation. The scientists aimed to understand how these interactions shaped rainfall cycles across the region. Regional planning agencies looked at long-term strategies. They considered updating advisories for agriculture, health, and tourism. They discussed whether more communities should receive regular air quality updates, not just during extreme events. They explored the idea of distributing more masks during peak dust periods, especially for sensitive groups. They also looked at adopting new monitoring tools. These included portable air sensors and real-time visibility trackers that could help inform the public more quickly. Shipping authorities discussed how to adapt to future plumes. They considered expanding the network of coastal visibility sensors. They also discussed training programs for small craft operators. These programs could help them navigate safely during low visibility days. Port managers said safety planning should account for the possibility that strong dust seasons might occur more frequently. In agriculture, planners explored ways to support farmers. They reviewed recommendations for protective coverings during extreme dust days. They discussed guidelines to help farmers scout plants for dust stress. They also explored irrigation timing. Water could help wash dust off leaves during certain stages. These adjustments required careful planning. Regional agencies said they would conduct field tests to provide accurate guidance. Environmental researchers returned to the field to examine water sources. They looked at rivers and small reservoirs. Dust settling on these surfaces could influence water clarity. In some cases, the dust could deposit minerals that supported algae growth when conditions aligned. Researchers said this effect varied widely. More study was needed to understand it fully. As the dust cleared further, the Caribbean landscape began to sharpen again. Hills regained their outlines. The sea reflected more light. People stepped outside and looked upward. Many of them said the sky felt brighter than it had all week. Children returned to outdoor play. Fishermen resumed their routines with more confidence. Farmers checked their fields and watched for signs of recovery. Clinics saw fewer respiratory cases by the day. Yet traces of the plume remained. Fine particulates settled into soil and on rooftops. Surfaces needed another round of cleaning. The air felt lighter but still held remnants of the dust. The event had eased, but its presence lingered quietly across the region. Regional scientists then began writing their preliminary reports. They explained the broad pattern: a combination of dry conditions in the Sahel, warm Atlantic temperatures, and a strong African easterly jet created a powerful dust launch. Once airborne, the dust traveled quickly and maintained its structure because the Saharan air layer carried warm, dry air that suppressed rainfall over the Caribbean. The plume then stalled above the islands, creating the long stretch of haze that affected visibility, agriculture, and health. The reports noted that while dust events were natural, this one reached an unusual density and persistence. They emphasized the need for further study. They recommended ongoing monitoring of Sahel rainfall and Atlantic temperatures. They suggested additional satellite tools to track dust formation earlier in its journey. They also called for more collaboration across Caribbean states to share observations and support planning. In a separate meeting, environmental scientists presented findings about soil samples. They found that mineral levels had increased slightly in areas where heavy dust settled. These increases were not harmful in the short term. They could even support plant growth in certain conditions. However, the scientists said that repeated strong dust seasons could lead to more noticeable changes in soil composition. They recommended periodic soil testing to track any long-term changes. In the health sector, medical officials shared their own observations. They said clinics managed the surge in respiratory cases effectively, but the event highlighted the need for expanded public awareness. They supported the idea of distributing more educational materials. They also recommended stronger communication between air quality stations and local clinics. Shipping and aviation officials prepared a joint statement. They said the event revealed the importance of clear visibility markers and improved weather briefings. They planned to work with meteorology offices to enhance early warnings for operational planning. all of this came together in a broader reflection. The Caribbean had always lived with dust from the Sahara. It was part of the region's seasonal rhythm. It influenced sunsets, soil nutrients, and atmospheric conditions. But this season raised a new layer of concern. It prompted scientists, planners, and residents to ask whether the dust cycle was entering a shift shaped by broader climate forces. By the time the sky fully cleared, the question had not been answered. It remained open. The dust plume eased, but its significance settled into conversation. People talked about what they had seen. They remembered the muted light. They remembered the long stretch of poor visibility. They remembered the weight of the air. As the region returned to calm, the final scene took shape. Scientists looked at the latest satellite image. The plume that had blanketed the Caribbean drifted westward and began to disperse over the ocean. Behind it, smaller waves still formed near the African coast. They would travel the same path. They would reach the region in lighter form. The scientists stepped back from the monitors. They knew the natural cycle would continue. Dust would cross the Atlantic again. What they did not know was how future seasons would behave. Would they follow familiar patterns or reflect deeper changes in climate and wind? The chapter closes with that single forward question. What does this season reveal about the future balance between natural cycles and climate-driven shifts in the dust that travels from the Sahara to the Caribbean?